seek and knock.
Blog Talk
at
Radio.
His door. Many today will not even come to Jesus Christ. Many today will not even acknowledge him. But he is letting us know that he is the true bread. See, the bread that was given to those back then, the manna that was given, came from Almighty God. But it was manna to sustain their physical life. But the bread that God has given, in verse 33 it says, for the bread of God is he who cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. We can eat all the physical bread we want, but we cannot receive spiritual life through physical bread. The only way to receive physical or spiritual life is through Jesus Christ himself. That is why he is essential to our lives today. You see, in the natural, as we said, bread satisfies our physical hunger. But in the spiritual, it is knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That is our secured salvation in him. You see, if we want to make heaven our home, we must believe that he is who he says he is. You see, this belief is not just taking his word for it, but belief is a total commitment and unquestioning obedience to the things of Almighty God. See, there are many who may say they believe in God, but they don't serve him. This is shadow surface kind of belief that many have today. It's not a supernatural belief, because you can ask anyone on the street today, and I guarantee you there are so many that will tell you today, I am a child of God, but their life does not resemble that of a child of God. And I'm not judging anyone, because there are certain criteria that the Word of God has said for us to have in order for us to be a child of God, just like in any
message system.
Thank God for coming the way that God has said for us to come. Because you know when you say you believe in God, that means you will walk according to the word of God. That means you will walk by faith. But when you're coming and joining us, because someone has said, come on and join the church, come on and do this and work in the church. You've got many people today that are working in churches that are not saved. They don't know they're singing in choirs, and they're singing songs that I'm truly saved today. And many have not asked God to forgive them of their sins. How do you know that to be so, Sister Jenkins? The word of God has already alluded to it. The word of God says back in Proverbs, there's a generation that are pure in their own eyes, yet they're not washed from their filthiness. And that's the generational time in which we are in right now. We can go out on this street, and I guarantee you 9 out of 10 people will say to you, I'm a child of God. Many of them will say, I was baptized when I was a child. And many of them haven't lived.
You have reached
Jesus
the voicemail box of 614928611 82.
And doing all manner of evil. And that is not of a child of God. That is the old man. But I'm talking about the new man. When he comes to Jesus Christ, the bread of life, a change comes over him. What is that change? The word of God says, therefore, if any man be what? In Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. Amen. No longer serving that old man. You see, our Christian, you see, as a Christian, our lives must be built around things that have eternal significance. What are you saying, Sister Renee? You see, walking by faith means to fear God more than man. It means to obey the Bible, even when it conflicts with man's commands in this life. It means to obey when everybody else is doing something else that goes against the grain. Or to our children. Many of them are in school right now. And Sister Blake has many over the times has told them that you have cannot follow a multitude to do wrong when you know something is wrong. See, our children are going to be held accountable. Why? Because they are coming and they are hearing the word of God. Our quarterly this time has been another good quarterly talking about the fundamental doctrines. And it's going down and talking about the various things. It talked about salvation and how God provides salvation. This is what our children are learning. Also talking to them about how to obtain salvation. And the commentator is making it plain for them, letting them know it's not about all the things of this world. It's saying that you do to gain salvation, but it comes according to the word of God. Amen. So walking by faith means we fear God more than man. Also, we choose righteousness over sin. No matter what the cost, we must trust God in every circumstance in our lives. We must believe that God rewards those who seek him, regardless of who says whatever. Whoever says otherwise than what God said, we've got to believe Almighty God. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Who is him? It is speaking about God. See, many who profess to be saved, they do not have enough faith to believe God at his word. But as the Hebrew writer says, without it, you cannot please God. This does not mean that you're not saved. This just means you need to trust God more. You need to get where God wants you to be in your spiritual walk. There may be someone under the sound of my voice and may say to me, Sister Renee, my faith is wavering right now. My faith is a little weak right now. All you've got to do is trust Almighty God and ask God to help you to increase your faith. You see, to walk by faith requires that we tune our hearts to the voice of the Holy Spirit of God and that into the truth of God's eternal word. I don't know what you are dealing with in your life right now, but if your faith is being tested, Call upon Jesus to help you. Sister said our salvation is based on faith. And yes, it is. Why? Because we walk by faith and not by sight. Turn with me to Mark, the 9th chapter, and read in this passage of scripture here. There was a man who was brought, who brought his son to the disciples. You Bible students know the story, to be healed from the dumb spirit that he had, but they could not heal him. Look at verse 17 of Mark 9. He said, and one of the multitude, he said, answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnashes with his teeth. This is where the Holy Spirit wants me to be. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnashes with his teeth, and pineth away. I spake to thy disciples, this is where I want it, that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, he said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. This is what Jesus is saying. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child, meaning that this has been with him since he was a child. He went on to say, and oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus saith unto him, if thou canst believe, see, you can go to Jesus and you can say these words, Lord, if you can have compassion on us and help us, but if you can't believe that Jesus is able to do it, there's no sense in going to Jesus and asking him to heal. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. See, he let Jesus know that he believed, but he said, help my unbelief. What he was telling Jesus was that he did have faith, but please help me to have a little more faith in you, Lord. Saints of God, sometimes you and I are faced with something that seems to overpower our faith, and it may seem that we don't have enough faith to trust in God in that moment. So we must ask God for more faith to help us through that situation. It's not a sin to say, Lord, I need you to help me. I'm not able to bear these things that are coming on right now. See, we must acknowledge that we need our faith increased in God. You see, even our faith comes from God. It is his work in our lives that enables us to believe and obey the word of God. Therefore, we can ask for what we need. When we feel that the enemy is coming in like a flood, we've got to remember what the word of God says. He says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord will what? Lift up a standard against him. The spirit of the Lord will give you and I enough faith to stand whatever the enemy is bringing at us. In Luke 17, see how the disciples were faced with forgiveness. Turn there for a moment. See, this is an area in all of our lives as Christians that we need to ask God to help us with. You see, forgiveness is essential to our salvation. Jesus said in another passage of scripture outside of this one here, and this other passage of scripture is in Matthew. If you want to read it in your leisure, Matthew 16, he let us know, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father, he said, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. See, we must forgive so that you and I can be forgiven. Let us not allow forgiveness to be a stumbling block to our salvation. But let us look here at Luke 17, verse 5. He says there in that scripture, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. You see, our faith right now is being tested, saints of God. Yes, we are a small family of God, and we have been through a lot these last several months. As we heard from our dear sister on last Lord's Day, she said her heart was burdened. Her heart is heavy. So we have experienced death after death of some of our dear loved ones. And we have loved ones right now who are seriously sick and need our faith. They need our prayers and need us to have the faith for them to be able to go through the sickness that they are going through right now. This is weighing heavily upon us as the children of God. I know this for myself personally. There are times when I have just been so overwhelmed by all of it and have felt that I don't know how much more that I can take personally myself. But I know that my faith is strong in God this afternoon. But I must say this. It has brought me to my knees sometimes, crying out to Almighty God. I said to Sister Blake this morning downstairs, I have searched myself to make sure that I'm standing on the Word of God. I've asked the Lord God to make sure that Sister Renee is who she says she is. But just because I stand here does not mean my faith will not be tested. My faith will be tested just like your faith is going to be tested. I have to preach it, so I have to live what I preach, what the Lord gives to me. But I thank God for each and every one of my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus who are praying for us and holding our family up. I thank God for my sister Fran. She's our encourager. She's been encouraging all of us to continue on and not let our faith wane. So we've got to run on for Almighty God. Yes, I can say through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. And yes, I've learned to trust in Almighty God. You see, He is the rock of our salvation. He is the great I am. Yes, He is the author and the finisher of our faith. There's nothing too hard for Almighty God. No matter what we go through, there is nothing too hard for Almighty God. God sees all of our sorrows. God sees all of our heavy burdens. God sees all of our heartaches. He knows our weaknesses. He feels our very pain that you and I feel. And we can always count on God to be there for you and I, to make a way out of no way when there seems to be no other way. Our God can make a way out of it. Our God is still on His throne. He hasn't Amen. Forgot any of us, saints of God. We might be going through something over here. You might be going through something over here. And another saint might be going through something over there. But that doesn't mean we give up on God. That means we just hunker down a little more and make sure that our anchor is holding against the solid rock of our salvation. Saints of God, when our anchor holds to Almighty God, the storms of life can come through. The storms of life can get a little stormy, but we don't have to get off. All we've got to do is anchor down in Jesus and say, as Job said, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. you. I'm going to go through this and see what the end holds for me. I know, dear Heavenly Father, that you are God, and beside thee there is no other. There's no sense in me giving up right now. You brought me through the waters and the storms of life. When I passed through the flood, you said you would be with me. When the fire comes up against me, you said you would be with me. When you were there with the children of Israel, the three Hebrew boys, just as you was with them back in the Old Testament when they stood there before King Nebuchadnezzar, you're standing right here with me. Although we haven't been literally thrown into a furnace, but we are in the furnace of affliction right now. But oh, we're going to come through it, saints of God. We're going to come through it in the name of Jesus. And to God be the glory for great things God has done. And when we come through, all praise, glory, and honor belongs to Almighty God. Because without God, you and I are nothing. Thank God for his word. Thank God for bringing us through. Thank God for being the sustainer of life. That's why Jesus told us in the word of God, I am the bread of life. He is the sustainer of our faith. He is the sustainer of our salvation. He is a just on time God. When you think you can't go any further, the Spirit of the Lord comes right in, and the Spirit of the Lord is going to lift us up, and the Spirit of the Lord is going to give us a little bit more strength to keep fighting on the good fight of faith. How many have found that to be so? How many have had the devil just unleash on you and just start throwing so many things at you? But I say to you this afternoon, hold on. Change is coming. My God is still on his throne. The word of God lets us know that there is no temptation that is too much for Almighty God. He will not suffer us above what we're able, but with every temptation, my God will make a way of escape. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Amen. God will bring you through. Oh, thank God. Thank God for his eternal word. Hold on to your faith this afternoon. You see, our salvation is in God. It is not in 116 South Wayne Avenue, but it is in Almighty God. He is the only one that can save us. We're told in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see, salvation can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He and he alone is the source of salvation for all men. Notice the word must there, what we just read, meaning it is essential to know and to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you want to escape the fires of hell, and if you want to enter into the glories of heaven, you will do so through none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone can save the soul of mankind. He is the Savior of our soul. Belief in his death and his resurrection is what will take you and I to heaven, to the lost that may be listening in. Do not let the devil keep you from coming to Almighty God. He'll do everything possible to keep you in a state of unbelief. Salvation may have passed you by many times before, but today the Lord is dealing with your heart right now, and it is time for you to call upon Almighty God. Don't let the devil steal away what God is saying to you.
Amen.
Yes, he wants to save you if you will come to him. You see, sin, deception will take you further than what you really want to go. Yes, sin has the potential to do so. But the Holy Spirit of God wants you to know that no matter how messed up sin has made you, God, through Jesus Christ, can straighten things out if you will only believe and come to him. Because saints of God, we all were once sinners. And God straightened each and every one of us out. When we came to an altar and asked God to forgive us, God forgave us of our sin. But first and foremost, we had to come and ask God to forgive us. When the enemy kept holding us back and trying to keep us from getting up, and then when we broke those chains that had us bound and we came to Almighty God, he set us free.
Praise God
for being set free. Oh, no longer in chains of doubt, no longer in chains of bondage. Just like when he set the children of Israel free, when he told old Moses, he said, go down and tell old Pharaoh to let my people go. And when he went down there, saints of God, this is a lesson for each and every one of us. Yes, God is still on his throne. Yes, God is working things out. And the devil will try to hinder when God is coming through. But he said, I'll work and no man will hinder. See, when he told Moses, he said, go down there and tell Pharaoh, what did the children of Israel have to go through? They went to many things before they got released from Pharaoh. What are you saying, Sister Renee? God may be working something out and you may still be going through something, but hold on to God. Moses told him in the end, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Amen.
That's what you and I have to do. When the devil comes in, just stand still and see the salvation of God.
Praise
God's
going to
bring us through. Amen?
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Oh, yes, Jesus is the bread of life. He is the best friend that anyone in this world could have. And we are blessed to have him as our friend. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh what? Closer than a brother. Oh, I found that to be so in Christ. We can count on him when we cannot count on anyone else. He is steadfast. He told us in the word of God in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. See, he does not run out when the things get rough. No, he is right there for you and I. He stands right there with us. His word is trustworthy. What he has said in his word, yes, he is going to do. Why? Because he told us in the word of God, my word will not return unto me void, but it will go forth and serve the purpose for which I have sent it. So when God has made us a promise in the word of God, stand on that word. Hold it up to Almighty God, because I guarantee you, God is going to stand on his word. Why? Because he is not a God that he should lie. Our God doesn't lie to us. He's not like mankind in our world today. They'll tell you a lie to get you to go and then come back and say, well, it's not really the truth. I just told you a white lie. Our God is not in the lying business. Our God is a true God. What he said, he meant. And what he meant, he said in the word of God. And yes, it will come to pass. Oh, thank God for his word. Thank God for all that he's done for us. Truly, we serve an awesome God. Our relationship with him is only possible because he died for us while you and I were trapped in our sins. See, there has never been a greater, nobler, or more costly display of love than the selfless moment when Jesus died for us on the cross. He died for his friends. While we were still his enemies, Christ died for us. Romans, turn with me there for a moment to that fifth chapter in that seventh verse. And look what it says there. He said, for scarcely, for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were what? Yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 15:13 says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay what? Down his life for his friends. Oh, truly, I thank God. Oh, there is no one else who would willingly die for their enemies. Oh, that's what we have in Jesus Christ. No one else who would give their life for those whom they knew would dishonor them and neglect them. But that's what our Lord and Savior did. He gave his life for those who still dishonor them. I thank God for his love for us, how his love runs far deeper than any of us can comprehend. John 3:16, and we've all quoted this scripture many times before. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Praise God, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Praise God that everlasting life is free to you and I. Thank God he loved us so much that he gave. Oh, thank God that if it had not been for the love of God, where would you and I be today? Love is the supreme fruit of our lives. Turn with me for a moment to 1 John, the 4th chapter, and look at that 6th verse. We'll start there, and look what it says there. It says, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Says saints of God, we've got to know something about the word of God to know if something is in error. He went on to say, but love, let us love one another. For love is of who? Is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. If someone comes to you and says, I don't love so-and-so, or I don't love, you can tell right then and there, they have not been born of God. He goes on to say there, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. He said, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. See, if it had not been for the love and grace of God, he would have never sent his Son down here to redeem us back to him. But God loved us enough that he sent his only begotten Son into this world. He went on to say in verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also, ought means duty bound, to love one another. No man has seen God. Look at this, saints of God. At any time, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is what? Perfected in us. See, we say we're children of God, and God's love got to be perfected in you and I. No matter what mankind does to us, we still have got to have the love of God. He went on to say here, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his spirit. See, only God is going to dwell in you if you have the spirit of God. What are you saying, Sister Renee? Because the word of God lets us know that if we don't have the spirit of God, we cannot please God. He lets us know if we're in the flesh, we cannot please God. But they that are, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. It so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if many men have not what? The spirit of God, he is none of his. So you got to have the spirit of God in order to be in God. Why? Because our God is a spirit. Amen. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He goes on to say there, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not perfect in love. Then verse 19 says, we love him because he what? First, love us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. This is the word of God. You see, we're living in a time right now where you hear people say all the time, I hate so-and-so, or I hate this one. I can't forgive them. Then that means you don't have the love of God.
That's right.
You don't have the love of God. You see, sin is ruining our world today. Many are living in sin. They do not have the love of God. Brother was praying in his prayer. I didn't get to see the news, so I'm taking it from what brother said concerning the churches and what they're doing and going in and burning houses of God. We're hearing about these things on almost every week now. The devil is raging. Many don't want to stand on the word of God, or many don't want to hear what thus saith the Lord. And now they're attacking places of worship. But I thank God, no matter what you attack, if you attack the place, the word of God is still the word of God. The word of God is still going to stand. The word of God, as he said, his word is forever what? Settled in heaven. So no matter whether we want to receive it or not, it's going to be, it's forever settled in heaven. But sin is ruining our world today. It has a stronghold on mankind right now. Someone said to me the other day, you cannot trust anyone. Not talking about a saint, but just in general, they were saying it to me. See, the devil has people lying over nothing. Their lives are full of deceit and evil things. That's the world in which we live right now. But I'm so thankful that our Sunday school children are learning through our Sunday school lesson about true salvation. Can't say it enough. I thank God for them. And through this Sunday school lesson, they are learning how Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit and died spiritually. And at that very moment, mankind was separated from God. How just one act of disobedience, which is sin, took us down. It changed the order of God's plan. But God, we are told in Ephesians, the second chapter, raised us up. Verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. How? He sent a Savior so that we could be forgiven for our sins. God's hand reached further down than you and I could reach up. I don't know about you, but I am thankful and grateful that we have a second chance at the tree of life in Jesus Christ. See, sin for the first tempt of God, but Jesus stayed the course. Philippians 2:8 says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. See, sin started when the devil was able to convince Eve to disobey God, and then she convinced her husband to do likewise. The way of sin is downhill. It will take you further than you want to go. It will make a mockery of you. And it will destroy your lives if you allow it to. It will keep you from Almighty God. Isaiah, the 59th chapter, in the first verse says, behold, The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. See, God's hand is not short that he cannot save you if you are unsaved and undone and are not a child of God. But he went on to say, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. See, that lets you know if there is sin in your life, God is not hearing your prayers. The only prayer that God is hearing is a prayer of forgiveness and asking God to forgive. But if you're in sin, you can't just overlook that sin. Turn with me to Proverbs 29. We started with this verse last Lord's Day. In verse 1 we read, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. As we stated on last Lord's Day, I find that this is one of the most frightening scriptures in the Bible. It's a warning for mankind. It's a warning for mankind that God has been calling you and sending his spirit out to you to woo you to come. And there's going to come a point in time, as the word of God says, my spirit will not always dwell with mankind. God is going to cut off his spirit, and God is not going to continue to woo you to come. And then you're going to be lost forever. Saints of God, I've been dealing with someone trying to get them, and all they have is excuses about why they can't come to church or why they can't this. God is not in the business of accepting excuses. That is nothing but the devil keeping a hold on to you and not allowing you to come to hear the word of God. You say you want to change your life, then you've got to come and make that change. If you say you want to do something, then you got to get up and do it. That's what God expects out of all of us. Amen. All of us that are saved today, that are sitting under the sound of my voice, all of us had to make a run to the altar. When the word of God came forth, we had to get up. And we had to physically make our way to an altar, and we had to confess our sins and ask God to come into our lives. God is just not walking around and just going to say, I'm going to hand it to you. What do you say, Sister Renee? That would be like if I invited you over to my house to eat, and I made an apple pie, and I said, you can have a piece of it, and you sat there, and it's all cut up. But if you don't go over and get the apple pie and physically put it on your plate, you can't have none of it. What are you saying? That's the same thing. Jesus paid the price for our salvation, but you've got to come to him. You got to physically act upon that salvation. You got to ask him. You got to come. You can't just sit there and say, well, Jesus died. I don't have nothing to do. Yes, you do. Amen. There is action in serving the Lord. Oh, I thank God for his word. All of us have to come the same way. You can't just say that I'm saved because of my father or my mother. Oh, no, you can't say that. But you got to come God's way. That's why the word of God has got to go forth. That's why we've got to preach the word of God. That's why we've got to let people know what Proverbs says. Being often reproved, you harden your heart. You're going to be cut off from Almighty God. And it's not because that I'm standing here, but it's because it's the word of God. Turn with me to 1 John, the 5th chapter. And look what he says there in the word of God. He said in John 5:10, he that believeth on the Son of God has the witness in himself. He that believeth not, God has made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. See, when you don't believe what God said in his word, you're calling God a liar. That's the word of God. He went on to say, and this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Also in Revelation 1, the word of God says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. See, you're blessed not only for reading, but you're also blessed for hearing, and you're also blessed for what? Keeping. Oh, you can't just say, well, I heard the word of God. But you got to do something with what you've heard. Oh, yes, God reproves in various ways. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. Look what he says in the word of God. 1 Corinthians 17. 1 Corinthians 1, 17. He says there, for Christ, this is Paul speaking, sent me not. We went over this last Lord's Day, but let us just touch it a little bit here again. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Oh, the word of God is powerful. We're told in Hebrews, it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Oh, I thank God for the word of God. Yeah, many have hardened their necks to the things of God. They're rebelling, they're rejecting God on every hand. Many of them are our loved ones. We've tried oftentimes to get them to come to the house of God. But there's come a day and time where God is going to say, as he told Jeremiah, pray no more for these people, neither offer up any more sacrifice. That's in the word of God. Oh, God is going to get tired, and God's going to cut them off. And no prayers, no fasting, no nothing is going to be able to get them into the kingdom of God. We're coming to the time right now, saints of God, we're not making a prediction whatsoever. That's not what the Holy Spirit is saying. But our times right now are so dry right now. Look out there and see all the things that are happening. I believe it was this week here, this past week, someone again right here on this hilltop got killed. That's the time in which we are living. Every time in the news, we have more murder suicides going on right now. We have a lot of people missing, family members killing them. Heard of a mother and a father pleading for their child to come home, knowing that they killed the child. That is nothing but the devil. Stand in front of millions of people on the news, crying out for their child to come home. We just want our child to come home. Knowing you killed him and buried him in a shallow grave somewhere. I'm sorry, where's the building? Sad. And we'll lie over it. And stand in front of people and just lie. I told Brother Tony when the mother was on television, she was trying to cry. I said, she did it. You could see in her face, because she couldn't even cry. Saints of God, if Maria or one of my grandchildren went missing, I'm going to be crying. You want me? I won't be sitting around here trying to find tears. Oh, we've been through a lot. When our grandchild was sick, we were crying. But saints of God, when you live for the devil, you're liable to do anything. And that's what we're seeing. Some will say, oh, I will never do that. I will never. As long as you serve Satan, you are liable to do anything. He will take you down to the lowest. And he has taken mankind to the lowest that mankind can get. When you kill your own child and then go bury him and stand on national television and act like you didn't do anything. That's a sad time in which we live right now. We're living in a rebellious time. Rebellion against God and his word has been going on for a long time. But that does not make it right in the eyes of God. See, the word of God, by many reproofs, our God is fair. He is kind. Oh, but I thank God for his word. 2 Peter 3:8 says, but beloved, think about the word of God. We have to apply the word of God to everything that's going on right now. He said, but beloved, in that 8th verse, be not ignorant of this one thing. See, our God is fair. And our God is severe in his judgment. But our God is also long-suffering. He said, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. God's not loose and slack about concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. See, God is trying to woo man to come in. He goes on to say, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. See, we don't know when God is coming back. That's why it behooves us to be ready each and every day, because the word of God said he's coming as a thief in the night. And if he comes as a thief in the night, a thief doesn't come by and leave a post-it note and say, I'm coming on April the 30th to your home at 10 o'clock. That's the same way Jesus is going to come. He's going to come on a day unannounced, but we've got to be ready to go.
Amen.
You're not going to have time to get ready. It's going to be in a nanosecond when Jesus comes back. So you're not going to be as mankind is planning in themselves. Well, I'll be able to cry out and ask God to forgive me on that day when he comes back. If you haven't cried out prior to that day, you're going to be lost.
Amen.
And you're going to a devil's hell. Yes, you may say to me, well, Sister Renee, what about the man on the cross, the thief on the cross? But there wasn't only one thief, there were two. One cried out and the other didn't. His heart was still hardened. Although he knew it was Jesus, he still had a hardened heart. So don't look at that and say, well, I can wait till the last minute. Because see, God can do, your heart can be hardened to God and God not allow you to call out to him knowing what you're planning on doing. Remember, our God knows everything. He sees everything. Because he did. The word of God says before we even ask, God's already answered. So God already knows what your thought process is and the intent of your heart. Oh, praise God. I thank God for his word. He goes on to say there in verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the day, coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent. He's telling you and I, be diligent, being ready. Be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Oh, I thank God for the word of God. See, the Lord will come in his time to destroy such men. Turn to Psalms 50. Look what he says here in the word of God. Psalms 50, verse 21. He says there in the word of God, these things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. He said, now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Let us look at some others in the Bible who rebelled against God. See, it's a, my Bible tells me it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. In 2 Kings, turn there for a moment, the 17th chapter, and look what it says there in that 14th verse of 2 Kings 17, how God testified against Judah. He says there in that 14th verse, he said, notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers that did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes. See, don't reject God. In his covenant that he made with their fathers, in his testimonies which he testified against them, and they followed vanity and became vain and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. Don't follow a multitude to do wrong. He said, and they left all the commandments of the Lord their God and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a groove and worshiped all the hosts of heaven and served Baal. And they caused their sons and their daughters. See, sin has a ripple effect. It is just not my sin, but it also sometimes permeates and goes down through to others. He said, and they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and use divination and enchantment and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of. See, everything you do is in the sight of Almighty God. If you sit there and roll your eyes, God knows about it. If you sit there and sit, mumble something under your tongue, God knows about it. So everything is in the sight of the Lord. He said to provoke him to anger. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. God will wipe you out. Turn to 1 Samuel 15. And look what he says there. You Bible students know the story. How Saul rejected God's reproof. And God took the kingdom from him permanently. Starting there at verse 22. But if you go up and read a little bit at verse 17. Samuel began to talk to Saul. And he began to let Saul know. I'll stop back at 17. He said, and Samuel said, when thou was little in thy own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribe? See, when he was little in his own sight, God could use him. Saints of God, this is why none of us can get exalted and puffed up in ourselves. Nothing that we do is in ourselves. It is all to the glory of honor and honor of God. If you sing, you sing to the glory and honor of God. If you pray, you pray to the glory and honor of God. If you preach, you preach to the glory and honor of God. It's not about you receiving accolades on you, but it's about God. Amen. And he went on to say there, and Samuel said, when thou was little in thy own sight, was thou not made the king, head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore thou didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did it fly upon the spoil and did it evil in the sight of God. When he saw all the spoil, he went in and took the spoil, but God had told him to destroy it. Then he went on to say, wherefore, then did it thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did it fly upon the spoil and did it evil in the sight of the Lord. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil and sheep and oxen and the chief of things which should have been destroyed, utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Don't be disobedient to God and then try to come and offer up some kind of sacrifice to God. Obedience is better to God. He went on to say there, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and adultery. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being what? King. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people. Don't fear the people. When God gives you a work to do, preach the word of God. No matter who's sitting and listening. No matter if it's a loved one, amen, that may be sinning and you've got the word of God to preach. It's not that you're preaching at them, but you are preaching the word of God. What thus saith the Lord. Many of us have loved ones in our families. They're doing all manner of sin. So whatever you preach, it's going to touch them. They're going to be angry. But we still got to what? Preach the word in season and out of season. Amen. When they want to hear it and when they don't want to hear it. It's according to the word of God. Amen. He said, because I fear the people. And he obeyed their voice. And you can read this story in your leisure. God cut him off. Also in Genesis, I'm going to give you some scriptures due to time. In Genesis, the 6th chapter, when God saw the great wickedness after creation, he had sent Noah, 6th chapter and the 7th chapter, to preach and warn them for 120 years. When they rejected that kindness, God allowed every single one, young and old, to die in the waters of the flood. As you know it, only 8 souls were saved. Also consider Pharaoh, who proudly hardened his neck against Moses' reproof. The Lord despised Egypt and desolated their nation from every angle. Suddenly their firstborn were dead and Pharaoh drowned at sea. And Israel quickly took Egypt's wealth into Canaan. In 1 Samuel 2, 27 through 36, Eli's sons rejected their father's rebuke for their sins. Saints of God, this is why we got to train our children up. Our children have got to be trained in the right way, because we can get in trouble with Almighty God about not training our children. Or if we see our children doing something that's wrong and we try to cover it up because they're our children. God is no respecter of person. So Eli's sons rejected their father's rebuke for their sins. So the Lord killed them both in one day because Eli himself had not forcibly restrained them from their evil. The great God completely wiped out his family, although he was a high priest of Israel. You Bible students know the story. You can read it in your leisure. Also in Numbers, the 16th chapter, Korah rebelled against God. It was against Moses, but it was against God. He gathered 250 men to challenge Moses' authority. Korah thought that he could do a better job leading the people than Moses was doing. But by leading his revolt, it was against God's divinely appointed leader. Korah was actually revolting against Almighty God. Read about it in Numbers, the 16th chapter. Moses then, if you go on and read in that chapter, proposed a test to prove the source of Korah's authority. Korah and his followers did not pass the test. And God opened up the earth and swallowed up the rebels and all their families, all their possessions. And we are told in verse 35, and there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Don't play around with my God. Then he said the rest of the Israelites were terrified and they fled. Also in 1 Kings, chapters 21 and 22, you can read about Ahab. He was king of Israel. Bible students know he married the wicked Jezebel, who stirred up evil, him to do evil. They both rejected the reproofs of Elijah. Though disguised and in armor, Ahab was killed by a chance arrow. We all know the story. Oh, we cannot go against Almighty God. Cannot go against what God has said. But we know that God in 2 Kings 9 had blessed Jezebel. Jezebel was thrown from an upper window. And she was trampled by a horse and eaten by dogs. You can read about it. Sister Renee, why are you telling us about these things? Because it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
That's right.
Also, you can read in Revelations about the church at Thyatira, how they allowed a false prophetess named Jezebel to compromise them, the purity of the gospel of God's word. Oh, saints of God, Jeremiah 10:24 says, O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, but not in thy anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Oh, don't fall into the hands of God. Our loved ones need to hear that many of them are on the verge because they keep rejecting the things of God. I was saying to Sister Carol with all the funerals in our family and deaths and stuff like that, I still don't see our family members that are out of the ark of safety running to God. They're crying and boo-hooing and so sad about it, but it's not stirring them to come and ask God to forgive them of their sins. They're still going on and living their lives and crying, you know, sorry that it happened and all that, but they're not making their way to God. And see, saints, that's the last, that this is the time we have in our last days. That's what the Word of God said. Men will be lovers of pleasures more than of God's Word. They won't look at the things of God. Their conscience have been seared, as the Word of God said, with a hot iron. They're numb to the things of God. They don't want to hear the things of God. Even though God is saying to them and showing them various things, mankind is still walking around and running away from Almighty God. Even in this neighborhood around the shore, all the killings and various things and bodies being found because of overdoses and all that, you would think the house of God would be full here. But no, mankind is still going on and living. This is what happens when the economy gets good. Everybody's living and making money and going on. And they're not thinking about God. Not thinking about eternity. Where will I spend eternity? You see, when we die, someone else is going to spend the money. You aren't going to be able to tell anybody what to do with it. You won't tell them where to put it or anything, that they'll spend your money that you done put up in the bank and put up in all these different 401s and all the different accounts. They'll spend it and go on happily, and you'll be dead and gone. What are you saying, Sister Renee? Our souls are more important than the material riches in this life. That's why Jesus is trying to say, I am the bread of life. He is the one that you and I have got to come to. Our family members have got to know about Jesus. And we've got to take this gospel to them and let them know that if you keep on turning away from Almighty God, God is going to cut you off. And there is no prayers that any saint can pray that's going to be able to ask God to save your soul. It's sad to say, but that's the day and time in which we are living right now. That's why we say to the lost, don't allow the devil to keep you out there in sin. Don't allow the devil to keep you out there doing the things that you're doing right now. Time is winding up. Time is, you look at it right now, we are April the 28th, 2019. We've already gone through 4 months. We're getting ready to get into the fifth month, if the Lord lets us see it, of a year already. We've already experienced some hard times. But we're in a time right now where the long-suffering of God is expiring. Judgment is coming. It's time for mankind to repent and come to Jesus Christ, the bread of life, before it is too late. And many of them are our loved ones. We've got to bring them, saints of God. We've got to try to talk to them. We've got to let them know that Jesus is the way. He is the only way. That you may have a good job right now, and you may have your health and strength right now, but that doesn't have to be forever. Because in one day, your world can turn around. Read the story of Job. You may say, oh, that's just a story in the Bible. No, read the story of Job and understand what God is trying to say. See what God is trying to say. And to you and I, those of us who are claiming to be saved, we have to remember our discipleship. We have to count the cost. Yeah, you and I are going to go through some things living for God. We're too going to suffer some sicknesses. We're too going to suffer some financial things, someone breaking in our houses. But that's just the cost of being a disciple for Jesus Christ. In Luke 14, Jesus lays out the terms for discipleship. You can read it in your leisure. But one thing he said in there, and I do want to turn there for a moment. He said in Luke 14, that 26th verse, he said, if any man... excuse me, I think I've got the wrong chapter there. Chapter 14, verse 26. He said, if any man come to me and hate not his father, now he's not talking literally, and mother, and wife, and children, and brother, and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. See, we cannot follow him in the world. We cannot be his disciples if we're not willing to turn away from all these things in this world. That means our family members, some of us, we have to turn away from them too. That's counting the cost for living for Jesus. We've got to make sure that our father, mother, sister, brother, everybody, they don't get in the way of us serving Almighty God. And many are letting them get in the way. But don't let them get in the way, because Jesus is the bread of life. As we learned in our Sunday school, we cannot earn salvation. We cannot earn it by works. We cannot earn it by saying we got some little lifestyle change or some good deed that we're going to do. No, that's not how salvation comes. But you've got to come to Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life. Turn for me for a moment back to John, the 6th chapter. I know we didn't read these scriptures back on the back, but I would like to read verse 50. Or start with verse 47. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. God bless you is my prayer.
Praise God. Don't you want to eat of that bread and live forever? Amen. Amen. Jesus is that bread. And shall we stand?
Praise God. Amen.
Is there a number? 399 in the evening light. Amen. 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 We've been given it's an invitation. There's also a warning.
Amen.
In this message. Amen. 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 Lost forever. Amen. Think on the word that was preached. There's any, if there are any that do not belong to the Lord, the invitation is here. Come and eat of this bread, because he is the bread of life. If we don't have the bread of life, then the only thing that's left is death.
Amen.
Even if there are those who are on the phone listening, if you don't know Jesus,
yes,
come to the bread of life.
Amen.
Otherwise, the words of this song will be your fate.
Amen.
Shall we sing?
For sinner, what are you going to do? Hope is a God-given anchor. Love. fixed in the Savior. On that bright shore you will land. But if in sin you still linger, sad your end.
When the Spirit of God was dealing with me and I was under conviction and had sat under the Word but was running from the Lord, and this song was sung, and this song is really like a spiritual funeral dirge, because it's for those who are lost and dead in sin. And it's saying, if you stay on the road that you're on, this is what will happen. Oh, how sad. And I want our children to pay attention to this too. Don't stay on the road
Amen.
Of sin.
Amen.
Because if we ask our children in a Sunday school class, what will happen if you die and you don't live for the Lord? And they will say right away that what they won't go to heaven, they'll say that that person will go to hell. But we're not going to leave it talking about some person out there. We will bring it right down and think about yourself.
Amen.
Bring it right down and think about yourself.
Amen.
Because you are a person.
Yes.
And you have a soul.
Yes.
And God loves you.
Yes.
And God cares about your soul. And he doesn't care if you're 13 or 12 or 11 or 10 or 9 or 8. If you know.
Amen.
When you do something wrong and you know that something is sin, then God is going to ask you about that and say, if you knew that you were supposed to do this, mm-hmm. why didn't you do it?
Amen.
In the same way that your parent will tell you when to do good and not to do bad.
Amen.
God is the same way.
Yes, he is.
We don't want our children, we don't want our young people to be lost forever.
Either. Amen.
Like this song says, oh, how sad.
My.
If you've sat in Sunday school and you've learned about Jesus and you've learned about God and you know that God has a heaven that you can go to, if you obey God, and you know that if you don't obey God, then hell will be your home.
Wow.
God holds you responsible for what you know. I'm talking to the young people today as well, because we want you to be saved also.
Amen. Evil days come.
Amen. If there's someone who's on the phone who doesn't know God, we invite you to, If you are local, if you're in town, come to this building. Come to 116 South Wayne Avenue. Listen in person.
Amen.
So someone can pray with you. Someone can help you. Someone can guide you to the Lord.
Amen.
The Spirit is speaking to your heart. You don't want to be lost forever. The saints don't want you to be lost forever. The Father does not want you to be lost forever. Amen.
Thank God.
It's not God's will that you perish. That's why he gave Jesus.
Yeah.
Don't be lost forever.
Amen.
Jesus is the bread.
Amen.
You can eat of that bread of life and live forever. God is offering, holding out this offer to you. Shall we sing? The altar is open. If you are saved, but there's a loved one who's on your heart, your family's on your heart, your children on your heart, your grandchildren on your heart, there's someone who's on your heart, you can come to an altar and pray for God to help you, to help show them the way to the kingdom.
Amen.
You can come to an altar and bow and get strength from God or wisdom from God. We're told in the Word of God, he who wins souls is wise. You can come to an altar and bow and pray for the Lord to give you wisdom, more wisdom for how to reach your loved ones. Amen. Amen. Shall we sing that third verse?
Amen.
Poor sinner in the great judgment day, heaven now offers you favor. Oh, do not cast it away. Flight is the warnings repeated. Leave you in Satan's control, and with all heaven rejected, lost your soul, lost forever, lost forever. Writhing in flames of despair, you will remember you've chosen to be there. Lost forever, lost forever.
God, I just wonder if you have a loved one or a friend or someone that you've been praying for, you've been talking to, I wonder if there's anyone in this building who is that way. If they would just come forward and stand at the altar. So that we can get up, so we can pray to get, be in agreement together for our loved ones and our family members. I wonder if we can come be a, to come and be agreed. There's, my God, my Lord, my Lord. As Minister Jenkins prayed, there, death is all around. Death is all around. Those that we know, acquaintances or family, some of those who are maybe family of some that we know, family of some that we know. Those are going into eternity. And we see it happening. And we know that there's no salvation in the grave. And any work that is done in hearts must be done here while there's still life in the body, because while there is life, we know there is hope. If peradventure, the Lord will save. And so we want to offer up prayer, because so many times we put in requests for our loved ones. We know that, Brother Levester was anointing and praying for members of his family. We know that Brother Mann has put in requests for members of his family. Talk about how they're successful in getting things of this life. They've got jobs and cars and houses and families and so on. But those we know those things are going to pass away. And we want them to lay hold on things eternal. I know that Brother Morgan brings in requests for his family, also for Lee and Vanessa. Sister Smith was in request for her family, and sometimes she calls them name one by one and name by name. We know that Sister Carol had said to remember her family, her and Sister Regina's family and her loved ones. We know that that has been the case. We know that Sister Summers has said, remember my family, time to time. I know that I have nephews and nieces in my family and cousins who don't know the Lord and neighbors also who don't know God. We sing this song and see what an awful fate awaits them. They're lost forever. Going to be agreed in prayer for our loved ones. I'm going to ask, I'll pray, but it was a time on, like on Wednesday night, sometimes we'd have what we called sentence prayer, where each one would just talk to the Lord. Even as I pray out, to feel free to talk to the Lord on behalf of your loved ones. Because truly, the word is going forth, and we know that God's word is truth. Jesus is the bread of life. We want our loved ones to partake of that bread, knowing that we want their souls to be saved. So we'll look to the Lord and just talk to the Lord out of your own heart as well, as we pray each of us individually for our loved ones. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, dear God, for your word this day. Lord, we thank you, dear God, because we know, Lord, that it was that word that saved us, dear Father. And, Lord, it made us, Lord, your children, dear God, through the blood of Jesus. And so, Lord, we're coming to you, Lord, on behalf of our loved ones, our children, our family, dear God, grandchildren, dear Father, our neighbors, our friends, dear Father, nieces and nephews, dear God. Father, we know, dear God, that you are mighty to save. But we also know, as Minister Jenkins preached, Lord, that they have to come, dear God. Lord, you've already prepared the way, dear God, but they must walk in it, dear Father. And so, Lord, you caused some of our loved ones, dear God, even to prosper, dear God, and to get gain, dear Father, with good jobs and so on in this world, dear Father. And, Lord, we know, dear God, that you have been merciful to so many of them, dear God, so many times, Lord, because of our prayers for them, dear Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts, dear God. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would help us, Lord, to be examples to them, dear God. But, Lord, even if we're examples, dear Father, we know they have to come, dear God. Lord, we pray, dear God, in the name of Jesus, dear Father, that, Lord, you would speak to their hearts, dear God. Lord, in these last days, in these last times, dear God, Father, we know, dear God, that you're mighty to save. And, Father, as they look around, dear Father, we see them, Lord, and they come to this visitation and that wake, dear God, and this funeral and that funeral, dear God, and the words even preached there, dear Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, that they would be troubled in heart, troubled in their spirit, dear God. Father, give them no peace or rest, dear God, in sin, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray, dear God, that you would help them to realize, dear God, that, Lord, they may have prospered, Lord, in the things of this life, dear God, but those things will be burned up. All those things are going to pass away. And then where will their soul be? Father, we pray, dear God, that you would help them, dear God. Many of them have already, dear God, they've heard enough truth to get saved on, dear God. Lord, we pray, dear God, that truth that they have heard. Lord, we pray, dear God, that the godly lives that they have seen, dear God, live before them, dear God. Lord, would have an effect on their mind and on their hearts, dear God. Father, that they would realize, dear God, that there's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment, dear God. And Father, we realize, Lord, that you didn't even make that appointment until Adam, dear God, Lord, gave up the tree of life, dear God, for a tree of knowledge of good and evil, dear God. And so then sin passed upon all men. So, Lord, they need a Savior, dear Father. Help them, Lord, to realize that they need a Savior, because the appointment, Lord, that you have made, Lord, they cannot miss. And, Lord, where will they stand in the judgment? Lord, speak to their hearts. Help us, Lord, to so live, dear Father, that, Lord, they would see Christ in us, the bread of life. Help us, Lord, to so talk, dear God. Lord, give us a word to speak to them, dear God, that would cause them to think. Lord, you may not give us a whole great big speech, Lord, to give them, Lord, but, Lord, we pray, Lord, that your Spirit would give us one thing, Lord, that we can say to them, dear God, that would cause them to think. Sometimes it's just one sentence, dear God, that they'll take with them, and it will trouble them, dear God, in their mind. And, Lord, your Spirit will keep bringing that back to them time and time and time again. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would help them, dear God, not to have pleasure in sin, dear God, but to seek righteousness while it may be found. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Lord, we know that, Lord, Brother Reggie, Lord, even in his prayer said that he had spoken with his son, dear God, Lord, about his soul, dear Father, and that he listened, dear God, and was receptive to it. Lord, we pray, dear God, that seed that was planted, dear God, might grow in him, dear God. Cause him to come, Lord, and seek you, dear Father. Lord, give us, Lord, the words to say. Give us the wisdom, dear Father. Lord, Father, if it's not the time for us to speak, Lord, help us, Lord, to hold our peace, dear God, and in obedience to you. But, Lord, when you tell us, Lord, to speak, help us, Lord, to speak that you have told us to, dear God. Lord, that you might work a work in their hearts. Have your way, dear God. Help us, dear God, to walk worthy of this vocation. Help us, Lord, to remain steadfast. Help us, Lord, not to lose our faith, Lord, but to know, Lord, that to believe, Lord, that you're still able to save to the uttermost all that will come to you. Help us, Lord, to cast not away our confidence, because, Lord, you said in your word it has great recompense of reward. Help us, Lord, to be true, dear God. And, Lord, we know, Lord, that you're able to bring others. Lord, if we lift you up, dear God, Lord, you said that you draw all men, dear God. So, Father, help us, Lord, to continue to lift you up. Lord, help us, Lord, pray, Lord, again for our children and grandchildren, dear God. Pray, Lord, that your anointing would be on them unto the saving of their souls. And, Lord, your name, which is worthy, shall have all the praise, honor, and glory. For, Lord, we know that salvation is of thee. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, even remembering the littlest ones, dear God, down to as little as Tatum and Liam and even little Lauren. Lord, they all have souls, Lord, that must be saved. And so, Lord, we pray from the oldest even down to the youngest, dear Father, in the name of Jesus, dear God, that they would be saved, dear God, in thee. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and we thank you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your saving power. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. The door. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen. You just have to believe and not doubt.
Amen.
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 Praise God. Amen.
Praise our God.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Amen.
Thank God for his word today. Thank him for his word.
Amen.
With special thanks to all of you, to know you is to know people who are kind, considerate, and thoughtful. To know you is to be grateful for the special things you do, for everything you've done, for being the special people that you are. Thank you so very much. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there are no words to express how I feel. There is a little sadness in my heart, but more joy and peace that God has given me, which will keep me in his arms of protection. Love each and every one of you with all my heart, Sister Carol and family.
Amen. We love you too.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Fourth Sunday Fellowship Dinner will follow morning service today. All are welcome to stay and fellowship and eat. For the November turkey giveaway for the month of May, 2 28-ounce cans of green beans per week. Please check the expiration dates for 2020 or beyond. Remember, the change canister is always available to receive your donations. Thank you. Vacation Bible School is scheduled for July 8th through the 12th. And this Vacation Bible School is for saints and for any other adults who will come. It will be put on the marquee. Perhaps some of those, it will be announced on Lord's will starting next month in the food pantry. For those who come to food pantry, they'll be invited to come for the study. For Vacation Bible School will be, again, July 8th through the 12th, 6 p.m. till 8:30 p.m. for that week. Our teachers are Brother Levester Jackson and Brother Maurice Blake. So please pray for them as they prepare the lessons and so on, and we'll pray also for one another that the Lord will get a blessing, that the Lord will be glorified and we'll get the blessing from this study. Amen. Wednesday night Bible study will be conducted at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Our devotional leaders, Brother Byron Johnson, his alternate is Sister Marietta Smith. Happy anniversary blessings this week to Brother and Sister Brandon McElroy, April the 30th. I believe that he says their third wedding anniversary. Amen. Amen. We thank God for blessing Brother Reggie Jackson in driving this morning and for taking him safely and bringing him back safely and along with everyone who was riding with him, and we're thankful for that because we were praying for him on last week. Please pray for Brother Pierre Johnson Jr. Lord's will, he's scheduled to drive this coming Lord's Day, which according to the bulletin will be May 5th. So time is moving right along. May 5th. So pray, lift up Brother Pierre in prayer. Our thought for today: do not have your concert first, then tune your instruments afterward. Begin the day with the Word of God and prayer, and get, first of all, in harmony with Him.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. True, that is so true. Truly a blessing.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Is there anyone who would like to express themselves?
Thank God.
Amen. And again, as we go, we'll go praying. Still praying for our loved ones, knowing that God is able. If we just, you know, get that, if we stay down to business for Him, He'll move. He will move and answer our prayers. Amen. If all minds are clear, we'll stand, be dismissed. We thank God for His word today. Thank Him for His blessings on Minister Jenkins, and continue to lift her up in prayer. Remember her in prayer, and her and Sister Lawrencine and Brother Myron Johnson, and in particular, that God will just increase their strength. The whole family, those three in particular, that God will just continue to bless and strengthen them. Amen. And that the Lord will be with Sister D as she begins her therapy this week. We pray that the Lord will be with her. Amen. Amen. This time we'll ask Brother Byron if you would dismiss us with prayer and also thanking God for the food. Yes, dear God.
Thank you for the Spirit of God that works in the house of God.
Thank you, Lord.
And allows your word to go forth in the ears of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we're so thankful for the ministry and the minister.
Yes, Lord.
So we ask that thou will continue to bless and look down upon her with my faith.
Bless her, Lord.
Continue to guide and direct her. Give her strength in her body and carry her through.
Dear God, in the name of Jesus. Dear God.
Yes, I will look down with favor upon them in a special way. Likewise, we ask the house that is included in grace.
Dear God.
Downstairs.
Thank you, Lord.
Help and strength for our body. We thank you for the hands that have prepared. Thank you for the finance thou provided.
Yes, dear God.
We pray for those less fortunate than we have now.
Amen.
So we ask that thou would guide and direct us through that. Finish eating and go to our separate destination.
Yes,
Lord. Be with us throughout this evening. Allow the word of God that we've heard this day continue to be in upon our hearts and our minds. Have us to meditate upon.
Yes, dear God.
We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. The Christ takes us our prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Thank the Lord.
Talk to you guys later.
Haley.